Hello and welcome to the Luke Miller Podcast. I am glad that you are able to join us again. I think we're on episode 27, and I realize that as I was doing this, that we didn't even have a celebratory quarter century mark celebration for our 25th podcast. But it's hard to believe that this all started back in the beginning of February, and now we find ourselves in almost the end of September. I'm glad that you're able to join us because we've been going through looking at Proverbs and what it means for us to live a life of wisdom in different areas. And last week, we started that by asking the question of what does this look like in the realm of family? And what does Proverbs have to say about family? And we talked about what it looks like from a few angles. We looked at it for husbands. That we should rejoice in your wife and value your bride and pursue faithfulness relentlessly. And for wives, again, that focus on faithfulness and developing that character and bringing good to your husband and making the family stronger by having that strong relationship with each other. We also touched upon what it is for grandparents. And that special role that grandparents have. And again, I want to emphasize that, especially with the role of grandparents, and as we look today at the role of parents, this is a very community-orientated topic when I look at church community. And what it looks like for even if you don't have grandkids, that if you are at Sunrise or you are at church, that really the mentality that we need to have is that we are raising up the next generation and not the future of the church, but kids being very much a part of the church and youth being very much a part of the church and imparting wisdom on them. And also, and this may be a little challenging in this, but what does it look like for us to also kind of have to open our ears and soften our hearts to hear what kids are saying to us and youth are saying to us and how they look at scripture and how they read it and seeing what we can also glean from them? It is a two-way street. And I remember this even as we were, I don't want to say I remember the first time I was wrong, because I know it didn't happen just in the last year, but we were driving the car and Ari, our oldest, says, "Do you know that there's a different type of Levi?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Did you know it's spelled differently?" Because our youngest son's name is Levi. I said, well, it's actually not spelled differently. And he's like, "Yeah, it is." And I'm like, "No, it's not." And a bit of an argument ensued, and I said, "No, a levee that holds water and stops water is spelled L-E-V-Y also, just like your brother. Although your brother's name is a Hebrew name, it's just we spelt it that way, so it's easy to be phonetically pronounced when you look at how it's spelled." And sure enough, along came that one line that he says, "Oh yeah, you want to bet?" And I'm me being 100% positive that I am right in this. I say, "Sure, what do you want?" "Okay, a Coke." And it's like he was waiting for it because immediately he pulled out a piece of paper and on that piece of paper was clearly from Wikipedia or somewhere on the internet where it was talking about levies and how they are spelt very much different than our son's name. And so, I mean, and immediately laughter breaks out because daddy is wrong. And I say this story in jest, but also in sadness that I was wrong. But when we look at the relationships that happen in a church setting, if we want to live a wise life, we have to be willing to also hear what about the faith that Jesus talked about, that childlike faith, and from the mouths of children, what that looks like. And they also have to be willing to hear the wisdom that we impart on them and be teachable. And so So regardless of whether you're a grandparent or not, or whether you're a parent or not, in a church setting, it is very much meant to be a way of sharing wisdom and gleaning wisdom off each other, especially as we aim to be that intergenerational church. And so I wanted to start today by looking at two other components of this family life. One, which is parents. We looked at parents last week. And Proverbs gives several admonitions for parents, and I want to focus on two or three of them today as we look at this. And the first one is about revering God. Fearing God is not only the way to wisdom, but it's really a prerequisite for parenting. And I'm not talking about just knowing how to spell words. I'm talking about what Proverbs 14:26 says, which is, "He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children, it'll be a refuge." Meaning, when God is our number one priority, we will be blessed, and our kids will find our parenting to be a place of safety. Doesn't mean they'll always agree with us, but it makes it a place of safety. And that makes sense, doesn't it? A place of refuge. Meaning, when I'm walking with God, I'm able to spiritually shepherd our kids. And they sense that the home is a safe place where they can always find refuge, even in life's battles. And that's not even considering the fact that, yes, there will be battles that take place in the home, but it'll still be a safe place. Mothers who revere God are praised by both their husbands and their kids. It says in Proverbs 31:28, where it says, "Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her." And so revering God is this foundation for parenting, and it sets up one generation to the next in many ways. A statistic came out a little while ago from a survey that I believe was done by the American Academy of Religion, which looked at generation to generation how many people went to church and how many people claimed to be Christ followers. And if you look at those from the 40s and the generation around there and those who went through World War II, you see it sitting at, in America, about 80%. It's phenomenal how high it is. The next generation after that drops almost in half to 45%. And then the generation after that drops down to 20%. And it's almost cut in half every generation following. And it shows not a lack of parenting, but rather we see that there is a lack of a focus on God. The way I put it is in a church setting. If we put it in looking at church attendance, for example, if I go to church half of the time, very rarely do my kids say, "I'm going to do as much as dad does," right? They are going to do it a little bit less or want to do it a little bit less. If I go to church half of the time, then my kids will see that it is all right not only to do it half the time, but they can probably get to only quarter of the time when it's a choice for them to go to church. If I put it in the perspective of chores, my kids will see me mow the lawns, and in fact, already started mowing our lawn this year, and I loved it. Years of training, now somehow I was able to be more of a supervisor in that role. But I'd say, "Go outside and you can mow the lawn," and he would go outside and mow the lawn, and I'd go outside and there'd be two big strips of grass that hadn't been cut between two of the trees in the backyard. And I said, "Well, you got to go back out and mow those." And he said, "Oh, I don't need to. I don't mow between trees." I don't know when that union started and when those demands were put in place, but I don't mow between the trees. And right, so there's always just that pushing back with trying to do a little less. And that works in the spiritual aspect of life as well, and how we raise our kids and how we shepherd our kids spiritually. And so revering God is that foundational part of everything that we look for raising our kids. The other is providing instruction. And one of the most significant parenting jobs is to teach and train our kids. In fact, right at the very beginning of Proverbs in chapter 1, where Solomon is laying out the purpose of the book of Proverbs, it says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching." And perhaps maybe the best known proverb on parenting is found in Proverbs chapter 22, which is, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he was old, he will not turn from it." And so we see again this picture of shepherding our kids and the importance of shepherding our kids and what that looks like in our lives. That the instruction also is pleasant, meaning pleasant words promote instruction, which we also see from Proverbs. If we want our children to learn, we must use words that will build them up. And I'm not just saying encouraging them for the sake of encouraging. Correction is often needed, as my mom will tell you about me growing up. But correction is needed, but at the same point, it is also the way in which we approach this is in that godly way, right? And shepherding. If we shepherd them in the spiritual aspects of life, we should shepherd them in other aspects of life and how we provide that instruction. And then, of course, this leads into the fact of that we have to provide and deliver discipline, right? And one of the best cases of this in Proverbs is Proverbs chapter 22. Verse 15, which says, "A youngster's heart is filled with rebellion, but punishment will drive them out." And so you see that it is built and ingrained almost in our DNA, right? That there will be rebellion. When we correct our children, it's important to do it out of love, because we know that's how God does this to us. Again, from Proverbs chapter 3, "Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in." If you delight in your kids, you have to be willing to correct them. And it's something that we think maybe we shouldn't do because we don't want our kids to think poorly of us. And we want to be their friend, yet if we want to be their parents, we see from Proverbs and we see from the wisest man that ever lived that correction will take place, but there's a way in which we do it. And I didn't want to quote you on me. I don't think there's going to be a lot of kids listening to this so I don't think they would like hearing this when we say this, but when we correct our children, we're really doing them a favor, right? If you look at 19 verse 18, it says, "Discipline your son in his early years while there is hope. If you don't, you will ruin his life." That's the New Living Translation. So that's a little more dynamic of a translation, but you get what I'm saying in this, right? If you start the pattern now, then it will build that foundation. If you start that pattern of revering God now, then it'll be ingrained in their lives. Now, parents, you've heard this. Now, I get there's not probably a large percentage of people out there, of children listening to my podcast, although I would be very flattered if they were. I realize there's probably not a lot of teenagers listening to this, but at the same time, it's important that we also address the other side of things, which is grow in wisdom and what it looks like for children and what the wisdom here for children. This book of Proverbs was written for young people, for Solomon to pass on to the next generation the wisdom that he's learned in all areas of social living. And it's all based on fearing God, but it comes from growing in wisdom. Seek out what wisdom is. And the book of Proverbs is arranged as words of wisdom from a father to his growing son. And Proverbs chapter 2 challenges children to accept that wisdom and then apply understanding to it. Children are not only to strive to get good grades in the classroom, but to do well in wisdom. Proverbs 10, Verse 1 says, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. And I think part of that comes from what we also read, again, all in the book of Proverbs, which is choose friends wisely. I've been told that over and over in my life. You've probably, if you're listening to this as a parent, you've said this. If you're listening to this as a Sunday school teacher, you've probably said this. And we'll talk a little bit more about this, but we already did a couple weeks ago on looking at what friendship and biblical friendship and wise friendship looks like. And so I won't spend too much time on this component of it, but here's the tough one. Actually, the next two are kind of tough. One is for children to be able to listen to instruction, right? And I'm sure we've all been in that case, parents and kids, even as a grown-up kid, where I think I know what I'm doing, and then my dad comes along and says, you need to do it this way. And I say, I know what I'm doing. You know, how many kids out there have uttered that phrase to their parents, regardless of what age they are? I know what I'm doing. I know how to do this. I'm good. And somehow I'm not good. In fact, sometimes it's usually a pride thing that slowly starts to creep in. Again, in Proverbs, we see this, to listen to what mom and dad are trying to tell you, where it says, stop listening to instruction, my son. And if you do, you will stray from the words of knowledge, right? Saying if you stop listening to instruction, you're going to stray from what knowledge is and start focusing on just simply what you want, not what you really need. And this all comes from the idea of honoring our parents and respecting parents and respecting the people in our lives. One of the fascinating things that we see in the context of Scripture, and we actually see in the story of the prodigal son, as Jesus tells the parable of that, is as this son goes away and rebels and is gone, we see that when the son comes home, he's met at the city gates, and he's met by his father. And it's tradition that really the elders of the city or the town would sit outside the city gates. And in the context of this, they would discuss. When people had questions, they would bring it to them and they would discuss it. Think of it like the modern day coffee shop. We see this a lot in Saskatchewan, where you got all the farmers who come to the coffee shop and sit and discuss the everything that's going on in the world of farming. But this is what was done in biblical context outside the city gates, where people could come and gather. And so you see this prodigal son coming home and you see the father embrace him. And what's so interesting about that story in and of itself is that would have been in front of all of the wise elders of that city or that town to see that. And so we see over and over that, I mean, the wisdom in the father, not only in correcting his son, but also in the grace that is shown as well. But kids, part of this is also respecting and honoring your parents as well. And again, I know this is probably not being heard by children and teenagers out there. But if you're listening to this and you're a parent or you're a Sunday school teacher, these are the things that we need to ingrain into our kids, is that ability to listen to instruction, that ability to see that they need to respect those around them, respect you, respect their parents, that we mold them in a way that they will be able to grow in wisdom and out of that choose friends wisely. So there's all sorts of different angles to this. But I hope you can see as we finish this up that there are, in the world of Proverbs and in the structure of Proverbs, it is very important for us to see this as instruction for husbands and wives and grandparents and parents and children. The family unit, as we know it, is pivotal in seeing the strength of the family grow, the strength of the next generation to grow as they revere God, as they seek wisdom in God. As we continue through the book of Proverbs, we're going to be looking at a whole lot more of these different topics. We're going to move from family this week and finish up family, but I hope you see how important that not only the family unit is, but how each different component of it, whether it's grandkids, kids, parents, husbands, and wives, how each brings something very unique that each can learn from the other. And so I get our prayer for today is that we would be humble enough to recognize that, that God would soften our hearts enough to recognize that. And as we go from here this week, we're able to ask God to lead us and guide us in the way of wisdom as we deal with others and as we listen to others, more importantly. So I will finish up there for now, and we'll continue in Proverbs. I hope you are enjoying this as we go through this book. Again, it's a book that we don't often preach on because you bounce from topic to topic rather than just go through in a linear line through chapter by chapter. But each topic we look at is the book of Proverbs paints this beautiful picture as you get more and more in depth on that specific topic. And so I hope you're enjoying this, but I'll finish up there for today, and we'll be back next week as we look at this. I'm so glad that you were able to join me. Let me just pray and just pray for wisdom for us as we go forward. God, I just thank you for today. I thank you that we can gather together and just study your word and listen to where you are leading us as a community, as a family community, whether it's our own families in our own homes, whether it's us functioning as that larger family of churchgoers and Christ followers. God, we pray that you would humble us, you'd soften our hearts, that we would be able to listen to the instruction of those around us. And we just pray for wisdom and pray for continually seeking wisdom from those in our lives. And so we just pray these things all in your amazing and holy name. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining us this week, and I'm looking forward to continuing the book of Proverbs, but I will sign off for now. So take care, have a great week, and we'll talk again next week.